You see, when you talk about dying spiritually, that doesn't mean the spirit ceased to exist. That means that it has no spiritual perception, and that as far as communicating with God, he is spiritually dead. Like a radio with a battery out of it, the radio's still all right, but it won't pick up any music. It won't pick up anything that comes out over the broadcast station because the power charge is gone dead. So when he was born again, when man was born again, it was by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, some of you, that's the reason you're wondering, well, why can't I hear from God? I don't ever hear from God. Well, some of you have never been born again. Now, I say that as kindly as I know how, because, you see, some people have never been born again. And the power charge is gone from your human spirit. You don't hear the voice. It takes spiritual perception to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Although you do all the good things, if you have never received Jesus, confessed that Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you have never been born again. I don't care how many churches you join. I don't care how many good things you've done. It doesn't come by doing good things, although you ought to do good things. Don't misunderstand me. You should do these things. A Christian should do good things, go to church, pay the tithes, and all of that. But still yet, that won't save you. You have to come through Jesus Christ of Nazareth and confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life, and then you experience the rebirth of the human spirit, believing that he's the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead, that he died for your sins, he was raised for your justification, and if you will just confess that Jesus is Lord, repent, change your mind, change your lordship. Don't let the devil be Lord anymore. Then thank God you become a new creation that never existed before. And this is one of the steps in keeping yourself from the wicked one. Now I want us to go to step number 3 in that. And that is renewing your mind. Even though that you've been born again, even though that the human spirit has become a new creation that never existed before, created in the righteousness of God, and that you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then you still must renew your mind. You have to get your mind renewed to the Word of God, because, you see, Satan has caused us to think contrary to the Word of God. Our minds must be renewed to the Word of God. I want to give you the scripture for that. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your spiritual service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, it's the will of God that you have your mind renewed, even though you've been born again, even though that you're paying your tithes, you're doing good things. The Word of God tells us, Paul reveals to us, that even after you've done all of those things, you need to renew your mind by the Word of God. That's the way your mind is renewed, because Satan has distorted the things, our images of God. And unless we renew our mind to it, we'll go on thinking some of the wrong thoughts. And when you think some of the wrong thoughts, you'll end up doing some of the wrong things. Now, that's what's the problem with some of you now. You've been thinking the wrong thing, and you end up doing the wrong thing. Notice that Paul said, present your bodies to God. Now, here's where many people miss it in this area of keeping their self from the wicked one, is that they don't realize that they have a part to play in this. You must present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Now, let me go through this very carefully where you can understand it. Jesus gave himself as a sacrifice for the world. He redeemed you from sin. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. He delivered you from the powers of darkness, and he translated you into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. Now, that all took place spiritually inside you, inside the human spirit. You are no longer under the dominion of sin, but yet you can sin. Yet your body can cause you to do things that are wrong. So Paul says, writing here to the Roman church, which had been born again. These people were born again, Bible-toting, tongue-talking, full gospel people. And Paul said, you better present your body to God. In other words, you can have some desires in your body that's not of God, even though you've been born again. And in the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul tells him what to do about that. He said, mortify the deeds of the body. You have to put to death some deeds that the body wants to do. It's not just going to happen, you know, just because you got born again that all wrong desires will leave you. Now, I've heard some people that said that happened, but that's not the normal thing, see. That's a special manifestation of the Spirit of God. Paul said, present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. Now, Jesus became a dying sacrifice. He died, sacrificed himself in death to deliver you from the power of darkness. But he's requesting that you become a living sacrifice. In other words, offer your body up, not as a dead sacrifice. You see, sometimes these Christians are always wanting to go around and beat their body to death, trying to kill self. Well, now, self was crucified with Jesus. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So that your old man was crucified with Christ, but the body must be presented to God. In other words, God wants you to present your body to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So some of you need to do that. You need to present your body to God. You've been holding out your body and just letting your body lead you around, just do whatever it wants to do. Well, I don't feel like going to church today, so I'm not going to go. Well, your body's leading you around. Now, you don't stay away from work because of that, do you? No, you say, body, you get up, you're going to work, whether you feel like it or not. See, it's not something you always feel like doing. It's something you decide to do. So here you have what Paul said to do. Be not conformed to the world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Begin to renew your mind to what God says about you. See, some of you think you're still an old sinner saved by grace. No, that's not true. See, you were an old sinner, but when you got saved by grace, you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Now, there's quite a statement there. I want to just let that hang there in the air for a little bit. Awake to righteousness and sin not. I'm convinced that if the church had been taught righteousness as much as we have been taught sin, then we'd be spiritual giants. It's time that we woke up to the fact that we are the righteousness of God when we're born again. We need to think righteous. We need to act righteous. We need to begin to walk in the light of the righteousness that God says we are. Even though we may not feel like it, we may not look like it, we may not act like it sometimes, God says we are, so we must be. Then we ought to walk in the light of that. Now let me read you something that will help you renew your mind. You see, you take the Scripture. See, we're talking about taking the Word of God and renewing your mind and getting your mind straightened out. Because the devil's confused some of you because of certain things that you've heard people say. In Colossians chapter 1, let's begin reading there, verse 11. Paul says, strengthened with all might, according... Well, let's back up to verse 9. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might be, walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now notice, this is the will of God, for this is what Paul's praying. See, Paul is praying a prayer inspired of the Spirit of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, who hath delivered us? Jesus hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, he's telling us we are delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. Now, see, the problem is many Christians think they're still burdened down with the sin load. They're just an old sinner saved by grace. No, thank God you're not an old sinner saved by grace. Get your mind renewed to the Word of God and find out that you've been born of the Spirit of God. You're delivered from the power of darkness. You're translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of God. You're walking in the ways of God's wisdom and God's understanding, and God's truth dwells in you. Get a hold of that. Get it into your spirit. Begin to renew your mind. Begin to say what God said about you. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that I should walk therein. Begin to voice what God says about you. This will help you in every area of your life, and especially it'll help you to keep yourself from the wicked one. No, thank God the wicked one doesn't have power over you. You're delivered from the power of darkness. Or, as one translation says, you're delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. Well, thank God we've been translated into the kingdom of light. We're no more in darkness, and we don't have to walk in darkness. The psalmist David said it this way, "The entrance of the Word bringeth light." Well, thank God it does. The entrance of God's Word will always bring light. I remember something that a lady said to Brother Kenneth Hagin one time. She said, "Brother Hagin," said, "you just confuse me with all this teaching." And he said, "Sister, no, said, "it wasn't. It's not that I've confused you." He said, "You was already confused, and the Word of God just showed it up." Well, you see, that's what happens sometimes. We're confused, and the Word of God just shows it up. He related it to this, and I thought it was a very good illustration. I want to use it. He said, "You know, if you take your flashlight and go up into the attic and shine it around, you'll see a lot of dust and dirt up there." Well, now, you wouldn't say, "Well, look what that flashlight did to my attic. Look at all the dirt that flashlight put up here." No. You see, when you begin to teach the Word of God accurately, it shows up error. And this is what happened in that sister's life. Well, you see, when we begin to say this sometimes, people will say, "Well, I know that I'm not translated into the kingdom of light." Well, if you've been born again, you are, praise the Lord. You may not feel like it. You may not act like it sometimes. But the Word of God says you are. So we ought to just hang on to that and just say what God said about us and walk in victory through all of that. Praise God. Well, you see, we can do that. Now I want us to go to Romans, the fifth chapter, because there's something here. See, we're talking about the third step in keeping yourself from the wicked one, and this step is renewing your mind to the Word of God. In other words, finding out what God's Word said and just absolutely hanging on to what God said and doing what God said, proclaiming what God said about you. I tell you what, you'll find out that God thinks more of you, most of you Christians, than most of you think about yourself. So just team up with what God said, begin to say what God said about you, and just leave the rest of it up to God because He's able to perform that. Well, now let's look in the fifth chapter of Romans, and let's begin with verse 17. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Well, now you see what he's talking about. He's talking about the grace of God that is brought to man through salvation. He's talking about the righteousness which is of faith. He's talking about that which you attain to by being born again or becoming a Christian. He says that they that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign as kings in life by one Jesus Christ. The Amplified says it that way. The King James says, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Reign as a king is what it implies here. Well, now I know that some people say, "Well, now I don't know about that, Brother Capps. That doesn't seem to work for me." Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever confessed that it was so? Have you ever confessed that I reign in life by one Jesus Christ? The greater one dwelleth in me, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm strengthened with all might according to the glorious power of God. Well, you see, sometimes people say, "Oh, no, I wouldn't dare say that." Well, until you learn to say what God said about you, you're never going to measure up to what you need to be in this life. You see, God has made some statements about you, and this is what we're talking about, renewing your mind to God's Word. In other words, getting your mind to come into line with what God has said about you. Because God has said some things about you that if you will receive it, believe it, and act as though it were true, then it'll begin to change your life. And you'll come to a revelation and an understanding of God's Word in your behalf, in your personal life, as you have never received before. Now I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's begin reading there with verse 21. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now notice, he said, put off the old man. Now that's something you do. That's not something that God's going to do. You put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now some of you need to get renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have the wrong spirit concerning what God's Word said about you. Some of you have a spirit that, well, you know, God said that in the old days back there, but it doesn't apply to me today. Now, that's the wrong spirit of mind. You need to look at this in the light that the New Testament, now listen carefully to what I say. The New Testament is a letter written to you. You, as a believer, this New Testament is a letter written to you, and it applies to you, and you need to take it personally. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. Now notice, he said, put off the old man and put on the new man. In other words, new thinking, new desires, created by the Spirit of God within you by confessing the Word of God. See, you take God's Word and create images with words. You know, you can't see words. You can't see these words I'm speaking, but they will put an image inside you. And actually, that's what we're doing here. I'm taking the image that the Word gives, and I'm taking that image, putting it in words, and forming that image inside you. So you put off the old man, and you put on the new man. Put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Someone said, oh, but I'm not holy. I'm not righteous. Well, if you put on the new man, you are. You can see that. If you took off the old man and put on the new man, then you're the righteousness of God and you become holy, the inner man, the spirit man. Well, certainly I know that you're not holy within yourself. I'm not holy within myself. But thank God I'm not within myself. Are you? No, thank God you're not within yourself. I'm not within myself. I'm in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in me. God dwelleth in me. The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in me by the Spirit of God. So, you see, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the greater one within me. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Well, I remember something John Osteen said one time. He said, you know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And he said, me and my wife, Dodie, said, sometimes we have a quarrel. And he said, I have to drive over the speed limit to get home before the sun goes down. And he said, I always run in and tell her, you're wrong, but I forgive you. Well, that's the way some of us have done. Some of you have done that. Well, you see, we should not let the sun go down upon our wrath. In other words, forgive. Neither give place to the devil or to the enemy. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Well, I'd like to apply that to the devil. The devil's a stealer. Don't let him steal anymore. I know in this scripture here, it's not exactly what he's referring to, but we need to use it in that matter. Then he goes on and says in verse 29, and this is one of the keys, in fact, it's one of the major keys to keeping yourself from the wicked one. That is verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now I want you to notice that all these things are something that you do. It's not something that God does. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In other words, put on the new man, put off the old man, put on the new man, be angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more, and let no corrupt communication, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, let all bitterness, wrath, and clamor, evil speaking be put away, be kind one to another, and all of these things are things that you must do. I think sometimes we put it off and just hope to God that God would do it for us. No, He won't do that. But you see, this is the key. This is one of the keys of keeping yourself from the wicked one. So remember, when we're talking about keeping ourselves from the wicked one, it's something that we do. Now let me just very quickly, let me sum up what we've covered in this teaching session. We've dealt with number one, of how to keep yourself from the wicked one. First of all, you must be born of the Spirit of God. Be born again. Then we must walk in love. Because you see, the Bible tells us, faith worketh by love. Then number three, renew your mind to the Word of God. Now number four, which we covered briefly there, is let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. In other words, let no corrupt communication proceed from your inner man, spoken out of your mouth. So we've covered four steps in how to keep yourself from the wicked one, and we'll continue this on tape number two and deal with many other aspects of it. This is the end of this cassette message.